I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So I was just watching Daniel Jones. I feel sorry for the guy. He literally gets sacked every time he drops back. I mean, this guy gets pulverized. He can't do anything. He looks so helpless. They are awful. I mean, the Giants are flat out awful. I think Philadelphia will go in there on Sunday and beat their ass. I really do. The Giants are inept. I don't know who's worse, the Jets or the Giants. You tell me, Mafia. Who's worse? I mean, they're both terrible. You can't even deny. I mean, I guess it's got to be the Jets because they've won less games. But they're both so bad. The stench coming out of East Rutherford is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, record-wise, it's definitely the Jets have just gone by that. But, I mean, I'd make an argument that at least the Giants are the most disappointing of the two because the Jets had a first-year head coach, a first-year quarterback, a first-year offensive coordinator. The Giants have had all these guys in place for a couple of years. Judge in his second year, Jones in his fourth year. He had all his talent that they spent money on offensively. All these guys on defense that are supposed to be good, and they just suck.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You're right. They all have experience. They have success. They got resumes. They've all done it, including their coaching staff, and they still suck. It's unbelievable. Like, and you know what's even more unbelievable is that I have never in my life watched a game where they show Tom Brady more than they show the game. I mean, have you ever seen anything like it? Like, I got the Manning cast on right now, and I turned it back on for whatever reason, and just to see the score. And they have literally shown Tom Brady standing on the sideline and sitting on the bench more than they have the football game. They don't even show the football game. They just show Tom Brady the entire time. Have you ever seen anything like it, Mafia? I mean, if you got the game on, you see it. All they do is show Tom Brady. And he's doing nothing. He's just sitting there or standing there, whatever, either or. Standing on the sideline doing nothing. And they just show it endlessly, like for minutes at a time. They never take the camera off of him. It's annoying as all Pharrell. I got to tell you, it is so painful to me.
Right. Well, I mean, they're always talking about him, which I guess when the Giants are as bad as they are, and, you know, you talk about Daniel Jones, it's not worth a damn. I mean, you talk about Brady instead, even though Daniel Jones is on the field, because that conversation is still more exciting. If you talked about, you know, Tom Brady's fails, it's more exciting than talking about Daniel Jones' successes because there's way more, you know, the other way. So it's just, especially when you look at this, you know, the Manning cast. I mean, obviously, if it's, I don't know what the game, the regular feed is like, because I'm watching the Manning cast like you, but when you have Parcells, when you have Julian Edelman, when you have all these people that are going to be talking about Tom Brady, then they're going to show Tom Brady because, sadly, that's more entertaining watching, you know, him stand on the sideline, pick his nose when these people talk about him than it is the Giants going another three and out.
So, Jones, they're saying Jones only got sacked twice in the game. I saw both sacks. You mean right now, the last two plays I saw, he got sacked. And that's the only two times in the game he got sacked. He got picked twice, sacked twice. He threw for 167 yards, a 4.4-yard average, and one TD. Those numbers are terrible. Barkley, 6 rushes, 25 yards, a 4-yard average. He's terrible. I mean, it is just unbelievable to me what a waste he's become. I mean, he just doesn't, he doesn't even exist. He doesn't matter at all. I don't want to hear it anymore about his knee. I don't want to hear it anymore about the injury and the rehab and everything else. We welcome all of our radio affiliates to the show. So I just don't want to hear it. He sucks. He does nothing. What is he now? This year he came back and then he got injured again. He's been injured. The guy's been injured his whole career. I mean, he has literally been injured the entire time he's been in the NFL. So he's always injured. And then when he's not injured, he's playing and he's worthless. That's amazing to me. Is it not amazing to you, Mafia, that that guy was as great as he was in college and then he got drafted that high and that he's a complete, utter bust?
Well, I mean, at this point, they don't even use him. I mean, you said it yourself, 6 carries, 25 yards. But that guy is that great. Why are you putting it on Daniel Jones' shoulder and having him throw almost 40 times this game instead of letting Saquon Barkley run it? You know, even if they stop him, 4 yards a pop isn't a bad average. You know, if you get everything over 3, 3.5, that's good. So 4 yards isn't terrible, and still you're not using him. You haven't used the running game at all. 13 times they ran it. 3 of those were Jones, which were probably scrambles. So you've run it 10 times this game. That's why you don't know what the hell you're doing. You can't win because you're not running the ball at all.
I don't think they use him, and I think it's because he sucks. They don't use him because they know he doesn't do anything. That's why they don't have a game plan for Barkley anymore, because he's worthless. He doesn't produce. He doesn't do anything when they do give him the ball. He doesn't amount to a hill of beans. That's the bottom line. So the end of this Grizzlies-Jazz game has become exciting. The Grizzlies came all the way back. They're down a bucket with under 5 to go. It's 109-107 Jazz in Salt Lake. They were down big before. They're down 2 now. At the half, the Sixers lead the Kings by 3. Those are the only 2 games that are still going on. The Suns beat the Spurs by 4. I'll give you the rest of the NBA when I come back on a bench.
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, Farrell on the Bench. I was watching the reaction to the Isaiah Stewart and LeBron James, you know, meltdown Sunday in Little Caesars in Detroit. And, of course, the Lakers came storming back. They were down 15 in that game. They won the game. And I think they won by 5 or something like that. But the big story, of course, was the fight that erupted. And it was basically you know, obviously LeBron James hit Stewart in the mouth, in the face, in the eye, wherever it was that I think it was near the eye that created the cut. And there's no denying that he hit him and that he, you know, it looked to me like, you know, he was getting harassed and he was, you know, getting, you know, if you will, physical, you know, with him. I think Stewart was banging and banging and banging and banging. And then I think LeBron had had enough and he gave him a taste of his own medicine. And he just was like, you want to go? You want to go here? Well, then have a little of this. Boom. And he hit him. And there's no doubt he did it. I don't deny that. I mean, I'm not stupid. I saw it. So it is what it is. The thing that bothered me about it was, is that, I mean, this guy flipped out. I don't care what anybody says. That guy, Stewart, lost his marbles. I mean, he absolutely lost his shack. I mean, this guy went nuts. And I mean to tell you, it was out of control. he was completely insane, and I just don't get it. At some point I could see being mad. I could see starting a fight. I could see, you know, arguing, shoving, finger pointing, threatening, all that. But to take it where he took it, it was like mouse in the palace. I mean, the guy went nuts. He went absolutely nuts. And it took the entire arena to hold him back. They couldn't stop him from trying to kill everyone. And I was disturbed by, frankly, his behavior. I just thought it was...
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
I just thought it was so over the top. Like, he was so nuts and so maniacal and so crazy and so out of his mind and so uncontrollable. No one could stop him. Every time they let him go, he took off running again, trying to kill somebody. He was like a wild animal. The guy was nuts. And now I heard Dwayne Casey say he doesn't deserve any suspension. And I laughed at that today on Coast to Coast. In fact, I think, you know, he got 2 games. I think he deserves 10 games. I really do. You just cannot act that way in the NBA. Let me get in a fight and get suspended for a couple games.
One-on-one, no one else around. I will beat your ass like a Cherokee drum.
I mean, this guy, did you see him when they let him go and then he took off in the tunnel looking to kill everybody? Like, this guy was out of his gourd. He was so insane. He was like rubber room. You got to tie him up and chain him up. Like, you got to lock him in a rubber room. He was completely out of it. LeBron didn't do anything. He just stood there and watched this guy flip out. And I know he was covered in blood and all the rest and whatever, just whatever. I just thought he got too carried away with the whole thing because he's, first of all, he's nobody. Second of all, he's young. Third of all, he's stupid. I mean, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen, this guy flipping out over that. So what? You got smacked in the face. Get over it.
They're just running around lawless. They all hopped up on beer and painkillers is what it is. Painkillers.
Yeah. I think he's probably on beer and painkillers. It's pretty obvious to me. I mean, Mafia, you saw him. You got to admit the guy lost his gizzard. I mean, he just lost it. Like, at some point, the entire franchise, no one can stop him. No one can calm him down. He just went buck wild.
Yeah, and that's what makes it, you know, ridiculous when you hear Casey. I know you got to defend your player to a degree, but the guy hit you in the head. It stinks. You're pissed off. I get it. Like, it wasn't that he was trying to be dirty. I think that Stewart was trying to get low, and LeBron was trying to get, you know, his arms around him and hit him in the head. And it's, you know, something that got him tossed. It's something the refs handled it. You're not going to go be, oh, my man, I'm going to, you know, handle my own business. Because, you know, Casey acting like, oh, well, he didn't get off the court fast. And that was the only thing. That's the only thing I saw. Like, no, not getting off the court quick enough is when they're, like, dragging you to the locker room and you're walking towards the locker room and you're still yelling back at the guy. What Isaiah Stewart did was try everything in his power to try to kill this guy. Like, and for the NBA to just give 2 games, honestly, I think is as ridiculous. Well, just because he actually didn't get his hands on LeBron, it's not that bad. I mean, the guy with 3 separate times, like, all right, no, I'm cool, guys. I'm cool. It's all right. And then turn around and go mad trying to get him again. Like, you got to give a game for every time he ran back on the court, not just 2. That's 3 right there. That's, you know, 1 for starting the fight. He should have gotten at least 5 games, I thought. I think it's ridiculous that just the 2 games, because that doesn't really scare anybody off. No one's going to say, oh, well, I can't lose my stuff because the NBA is going to come down hard on this. People just say, oh, yeah, I get to sit out just like I would if I had a twisted ankle.
Yeah, they never do anything to the players ever. It's 1 or 2 games max for anything. Nothing ever happens.
You used to get like at least 5 games when the Knicks and the Heat used to fight, you know, when they had those things and there's maybe 1 punch thrown in the whole scuffle. Guys would just grab each other and you used to get 5 games.
That's because David Stern had stones and Adam Silver has peas. He has little teeny peas, like the ones you eat at dinner. Like, he has no stones. I mean, the guy, he sucks up to players. He wants to be popular with the players, and he wants to be the player's best friend. So he never does anything to any of them. You cannot act like a wild animal, like a hyena. Like, the guy was completely, like, a savage. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, what was the difference between that guy? Now, I get it. Ron Artest punched fans. You know, it is what it is. But what's the difference between the loss of control, the snapping, the insanity? He's completely snapped. There's no difference to me in what Artest did and what Stewart did. I thought Stewart snapped. I thought he completely lost his mind. He was out of control. He was a threat to everyone, to the players, to the refs, to the fans. I mean, he was out of control and out of his mind. He literally was running over people. He was running over people. He was just absolutely, uncontrollably out of his mind. And I just thought, and you know, the refs did not handle anything. They did not handle anything. That was a scene that was ugly. It was bad. It was a black eye for the league. And he looked like an absolute lunatic fringe. The guy was just completely gone. I mean, there was no semblance of sanity there whatsoever. He was gone, snapped, goodbye, flew over to Cuckoo's Nest. He was uncontrollable. I'll tell you why. Because he's nobody. He's a young kid. He's completely immature. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And I think he just got caught up in the moment of being smacked in the face and lost it. Like, he was in the hood. Like, he was, you know, playing in the hood at the park, and he was just going to beat somebody's ass. I thought the kid looked like a stupid idiot. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, for all in events, so I was just looking at this guy, just so we're clear, you know, he averages 7 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 1 dime. Obviously, he's as big as LeBron, same size, 6'8", 250. But here's the deal. Stewart is going to begin serving his ban Tuesday against the Heat. And, I mean, I get it. I mean, the guy's played 84 games in the NBA. And here's the difference. Nobody cares about him at all. No one. So him missing a game on Tuesday and then a game on Wednesday, because I think they play back-to-back. They play Wednesday at Milwaukee, and then they play the Heat tomorrow. So he's going to miss both of those games, and no one cares. The difference is that LeBron's going to serve his one-game suspension tomorrow, and he's going to miss the Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. And that's a problem for me because, first of all, if you're a Knicks fan, you pay all that money. I mean, more money than any team in the league. It's true. It's the most expensive ticket in the NBA. And you pay all that money to go see LeBron James play once. You want to see LeBron James play. That's what that's about. And that he's not going to play because of Isaiah Stewart is amazing. I mean, let's face it. They got suspended because of the fight. And so LeBron James is not playing tomorrow night at the world's most famous arena because of that fat Isaiah Stewart bum who no one gives a rat's ass about. His career's meaningless. It is. Whether you like it or not, you can sit here and argue all you want that he had it coming and he should have kicked LeBron's ass and all the rest, all you idiots. And the bottom line is no one cares about him. No one. There's not a person on the face of the earth that pays money to watch that guy play basketball. He's a bum. He's nobody. That's it. I don't care how big he is, how tough he is. I don't care if he played at Washington. I don't care if he plays on the Pistons. There's no one. You've never even heard of him until today. I mean, Mafia, would you say that's true that 90% of the people, I think maybe 95% of the people literally have never heard of him? Never heard of him at all once until today.
Yeah, probably. Not that that, you know, changes it one way or the other. But, you know, Scott, we're just talking about how it's crazy that Stewart only got two games. Could you honestly tell me why LeBron even got one? First of all, I'm surprised he's not appealing it just so he could play at the Garden while it's in appeal, because he always talks about how he loves coming to the Garden and playing at the Garden is like his favorite arena to play in. But what did he even get suspended for? Like, he got tossed out of the game for the elbow. He didn't mean it. Immediately after it happened, he turns, he's trying to tell the guy, like, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to hit you. And then once Stewart goes crazy, like, he just gets the hell out of there. Like, you never see him throw a punch. You never see him trying to engage with Stewart. Everyone else keeping them apart. He's staying like three or four guys between them. Why is he even suspended?
And how about the fact that no one's going to be able to see him play at the Garden?
Right. And you know everybody in New York hates Ivan. That's obviously the league's not thinking about that when they're doing the suspension. Then I can be like, all right, well, he's playing the Knicks, so we'll wait till the next game to suspend him. But still, I just don't get why he's suspended at all, honestly.
Well, he is, and he's not going to be at the he's not going to play tomorrow night. And so, if you want to go see the Knicks and Lakers tomorrow night, you're going to be watching everybody but LeBron James. Now, hasn't he been out long enough? He missed 8 games with the core muscle, whatever, in his ab, and now he's out again. I mean, it's just, does he ever play? I mean, honestly, like, he's not playing this year. He's just not playing, missing games left and right. Now he's suspended. Who would have thought, seriously, that LeBron James would miss 8 games, come back, play a game, and then immediately be suspended for a fight and miss the game with the Knicks at the Garden? That, to me, is unthinkable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't have thought that, because it's the first time ever he's been suspended, so it would have been completely out of your mind to think that that's possible, because it's never happened.
I know, it's just it's insanity that that you're not going to see him tomorrow night play. I mean, that's the reason to go. That's the reason to go. You want to see him play at the Garden. That's the only reason. And then, you know, it's the same concept as the whole load management stuff. I don't want to spend all that money to go to an NBA game when my star players never play because they're resting. I think it's BS. That load management nonsense is stupid. I think players, frankly, and I've said this before, they should have to play every road game. It, you know, fans want to pay that money, and, you know, they have to. They have no choice. You pay that money. You want to see star players. You don't pay all that money to see nobody play and have all their stars resting and they're playing hacks like Isaiah Stewart. You know, I'm not going to watch the Detroit Pistons to see any reason other than Cade Cunningham. I certainly don't go to watch that fat ass and his no game. And so I'm not paying to watch the Pistons. In fact, does anyone ever want to go see the Pistons play ever when they're on the road? Does anyone ever go watch the Pistons? No one cares about them. They suck. The only reason you'd go is to watch Cade Cunningham. That's it. Here's another thing too. If I'm the Pistons, Mafia, do you trade Cade Cunningham for Ben Simmons? Are you nuts? Like,
hell no.
Cade Cunningham has all kinds of game. And I don't deny that Simmons can defend, but offensively, I'm done with Ben Simmons. Like, he can't shoot, so I don't want anything to do with that guy. And you're going to trade a guy that's got the talent that Cade Cunningham has for a guy that can't shoot, a guy that can only defend? Would you make that deal?
No, if I'm the Pistons, I don't even entertain the thought of it. I laugh right in their face and hang up on them when they throw that at me. I mean, honestly, I don't get the fascination now with the Ben Simmons trade and that, you know, what they're still demanding for. I don't get it. Like, guess what, Sixers? Just because you're paying like a supermax, superstar, badass player doesn't mean he's that. Like you said, he can defend, but he can't shoot. And he's a seven-footer that won't go up in the basket anymore either, as we saw in the playoffs. So what is he worth, you know, on the offensive end? He can throw some assists. Okay, great. That's not worth the money he's making. It's certainly not worth the future star that you have in Cade Cunningham, who could play on both ends, who gives it his all, who might not be that tall, but I think has way more ceiling than Ben Simmons is ever going to have, given the guy's struggles throughout his career shooting.
The guy can absolutely fill it up. He can shoot inside, outside. He can defend. He takes charges. Cade Cunningham's the deal, and he's the number one pick in the draft. And I don't believe for 1 minute that Ben Simmons is worth that. I'm sorry. Can't shoot a mid-range. Can't shoot a three. Can't shoot a free throw. Afraid to dunk. Afraid to shoot a layup. I mean, my God. I don't want anything to do with that dude at all. Seriously. All right, so just so we're clear, that game ended in Salt Lake. And how about it? The Grizzlies get the last second three to win. They win 119-118 over the Jazz. That last shot, I guess, see if I can get to it. I got to see this last shot to win the game. Jaren Jackson, the three-point shot, 26-footer from Morant. Jaren Jackson hits the game winner. And then Ingles enters the game for O'Neal. Mitchell misses a 19-foot step-back J to win the game. Jazz got the rebound, but it was too late. The game ended, and the Grizzlies beat the Jazz in Salt Lake. That's a huge upset. I mean, they mean business. I got to see the box on that. Jackson had 26. Moran had 32. Bane, of course, I had 28. Did you like that, Mafia? I slipped that in right there.
Not bad.
Boy, Bane. Anyway, as for the Jazz, Bogdanovich had 24. Gobert, 23. Spida had 18. How about John Moran with a 32 spot? Getting involved, winning in Salt Lake. That's a tough place to win. The Suns beat the Spurs by 4. They didn't cover, but all they do is win. They're 14-3. Booker had 23. Ayton had 21. Payne off the bench, 20 for the Suns as they win their 14th game. T-Wolves beat the Pelicans 110-96. Towns had 28-10, the double-double. The Bucks blew out the Magic 123-92 for their fourth straight win. Drew Holiday had 18, and the Bucks opened up a huge halftime lead, their biggest in franchise history. They were blowing out the Magic at halftime. They held them to 36 points at the half. I mean, they just absolutely destroyed them. And there you go. The Pacers beat the Bulls 109-77. Celtics 108-90 over the Rockets. The Hawks by 12 over the Thunder. Hornets won in D.C. over the Wizards 109-103. And the Nets won in Cleveland by 5. They didn't cover, but they won.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
right, for Ellen Avenge. So, the Nets were winners over the Cavs in Cleveland, but they had their hands full with that Cleveland team tonight. I'll tell you that much. KD ended up having 27, 6, and 9 dimes. So he ended up having a really good game. What do you think of that team, Mafia, the Nets? Do you like them? I know no Irving, but you've seen Harden, you've seen Durant, you've seen Patty Mills, you've seen Aldridge. I think Blake Griffin looks like his career's over. He looks awful to me right now. But they seem to find a way to win, and they got it done tonight. They won by 5. They didn't cover the 7.5.
Yeah, sure. When it's with these other teams that, you know, they should be just drubbing, yeah, they have a way to win. But that's what worries me against a team like Cleveland. I know they've been playing tough. I know they are, you know, a better team than we expected this year. But if this is the team that's supposed to be a championship contending team, if this team is supposed to be a great team in the Brooklyn Nets, then you shouldn't be hanging around with the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a team that you should be drubbing, not winning by 5.
Their lead, they're on top of the Eastern Conference by a game over the Bulls. Miami's a game and a half back with Washington. Then Charlotte in the 5 spot, 2.5 back. Boston's 3 back. So's Milwaukee. And then the Knicks would have the last spot right now, 3.5 out in the 8 spot. Phillies also 3.5 out. They're losing right now in Sacramento. And then Cleveland's in the 10 spot. As far as the West, Golden State obviously has the best record in the league at 15-2. Then Phoenix, a game out, 14-3. Utah, 11-6 is the 3 spot. Clippers, 5 back. They're the 4 spot. Dallas is 5.5 out, the 5. Memphis, 6 out. So is Portland and Denver. Denver has the last spot. Right now, the Lakers are 6.5 out. They're in the 9 spot. And Minnesota's 7 out in the 10 spot. So there you go. The Kings, I'm watching that game right now. It's 75-72. Sacramento leads it with 2:50 left in the third. Everything else is a final. So I just wanted to go look at college basketball tonight. There's been tons of games, holiday games left and right. And these games are going on right now. Gonzaga is up 28 on Central Michigan in the first half with 4 minutes left. 48-20 Gonzaga. USC 43-32 on Dixie State. What is that? Dixie State. Is that like a joke or something? Is that really a school? Dixie State? Where the F is that? A minute 4 left in the first half. Now it's 45-32. Dixie State giving USC a game. Ah. Kentucky was laying 25. They pushed. They beat Kentucky, beat Albany 86-61. Citadel was getting 27 from Duke. They covered. I hit that bet. I hit Citadel Mafia with 27. Duke beat him 107-81. Houston beat Butler 70-52. How about Ohio State? What did they beat your Seton Hall on a last-second three, Mafia? 79-76 Buckeyes.
Yeah, it was a last-minute three. It was a great back-and-forth game. There was a weird thing in the first half. The Seton Hall seemed to be on a run, seemed to be in control. And then all of a sudden, the lights just went out in the gym. And then after that, Ohio State went on a run. And right before that, the Seton Hall also lost one of their top players. He had, you know, a groin injury when he went down weird on a layup. So then second half, Ohio State controlled the early part, like the whole 10 minutes of it in the beginning. We're up by double digits for most of it. Every time Seton Hall got it within like 8 or 9, Ohio State got it back to double digits. But then they closed the gap. They fought, got it to tie it up with under a minute left. But then they forgot to close out. And the guy missed the three, got his own rebound, kicked it back out for another three, and that was it. Just some dumb mistakes, just not closing out on that one. There was one where when it was tied, or they were down 2 at one point, And the best player, Roden, gets the ball inbounded to him and like right at midcourt and steps on it with his heel, so turns it over. Just some bad mental errors at the end, but it was a great game, tight throughout.
And that was in Fort Myers, at the Fort Myers tip-off. They played that down in Florida?
Yeah, it was.
There you go. Cincinnati blew out Illinois. I covered with Cincinnati. I thought Illinois would win the game, though. 71-51, Cincinnati on the Hall of Fame Classic. Blows them out. UCLA beats Bellarmine, but they didn't cover. 75-62. Florida by 20 over Cal, 80-60. Arkansas beat K-State, 72-64. Those were top 25 games, but there was a lot more than that tonight in college basketball. Notre Dame and St. Mary's are underway in the Maui Gym Invitational. That game's on the Deuce, 16-13 Irish right now. And I'll just throw a couple more your way. Santa Clara beating up on TCU, 54-29 with 15 minutes left. Virginia beat Georgia by 10. Florida State beat Missouri 81-58. Oregon over Chaminade, 73-49. Valpo beat Jacksonville State by 8. Little Rock by 7 over Northern Illinois. Rice in 3 overtimes beat Evansville by 5, a triple overtime game. Toledo beat Charlotte 98-86. Kent State over James Madison by 5. Duquesne beat Bradley by 8. BU 72-59 over Sam Houston. Oakland beat Vermont by a bucket. Wisconsin beat A&M by 11. GW by 11 over Wright State. Tulane in overtime beat Drexel by 3. Nichols over Poly by 3 in overtime. Colorado by a bucket over Brown. Fordham upset Akron. Basically, how's it an upset when you win by 20? Murray State lost to East Tennessee 66-58. Creighton by a bucket over Southern Illinois in the Paradise Jam. Loyola Marymount beat SMU by 6. Penn State by 11 over Cornell. Eastern Kentucky beat Eastern Illinois big. Western Illinois over Northern Kentucky by a bucket. Troy in overtime beat FAU by 5. Lafayette upset Rutgers by a bucket. South Dakota State blew out Nevada 102-75. Richmond 81-68 over Hofstra. Cleveland State over Coppin State by 3. Georgia Tech by 15 over Charleston Southern. Siena beat Harvard by 3. Ohio over Mount St. Mary 73-59. Delaware beat App State 75-68. Colorado State by 10 over Northeastern. Oklahoma State by 30 over Charleston. They blew them out. LSU by 30 over Belmont. Iowa big over Western Michigan 109-61. How about the Hawkeyes putting it on? Riverside beat UTEP by 12. New Mexico over Western New Mexico 88-63. Wyoming beat Grand Canyon by 7. San Fran the Dons over Morgan State 83-67. George Mason lost to Washington by 3, Providence by 5 over Northwestern, and getting set to go at 1 a.m. Eastern, Pepperdine, the Wave against Fresno State Mafia, a little late nighter for you if you can't sleep on CBS Sports Network, little Fresno State Pepperdine till late night tonight. Now, I know that there's tons of games tomorrow as well. Georgia Northwestern, Valpo, and Coastal Carolina. Indiana plays Jackson State. North Carolina plays Asheville. I'm just looking at some of these. Charlotte and Drexel. James Madison, Wright State. Akron and App State. A&M and Butler. Toledo and Tulane. Murray against Long Beach. Wisconsin against Houston. Illinois against K-State. George Mason against Nevada. Louisiana against Marshall, Wofford against South Carolina, Rhode Island against Florida Gulf Coast, Central Michigan against Bellarmine, Virginia and Providence, Fordham against Delaware, East Tennessee against Missouri State, Arkansas State against Wake, Omaha against Texas Tech, Illinois State against St. Louis, Cincinnati takes on Arkansas, Gonzaga against UCLA, number one against number two tomorrow night. Who do you like there? Do you think Gonzaga handles UCLA, number one against number two, Mafia?
Oh, man, it's still hard to say because normally when you see some of these, you know, top programs, they're going to graduate a bunch of their guys and say, all right, well, they got to reload early in the season. They got to find their way. But these are two programs that are returning their best players. And, you know, Gonzaga, I'll give a slight edge to them because while Jazang's back for UCLA, you know, Gonzaga is a four-year program for just about every guy. It doesn't matter how good they are. They bring back so many of that, you know, the incredible team they had last year. I'm going to lean towards them.
All right, so hockey tonight, just so we can get this in there. The Avalanche beat the Senators 7-5. The Predators over the Ducks 3-2. The Blues 5-2 over the Knights in St. Louis. The Jackets beat the Sabres in Buffalo 7-4. And how about the Penguins upset the Jets 3-1 in Varelipeg? Tristan Jarry solid in the net. Danton Heinen scored the go-ahead goal early in the third. Jarry allowed one goal after back-to-back shutouts, and the Penguins beat the Jets 3-1 on Monday night. They're 8-6-4, basically almost the same record as Varelipeg, 9-5-4. Big win for them. The Canes lead the Sharks right now with seven left in the second in San Jose. And D'Angelo has the goal a minute into the second period for Carolina. They're 14-2. How about the Carolina Hurricanes? They mean business. When you look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic, of course, Florida's on top of Toronto and Tampa's third. Detroit's fourth. In the Metro, it's Carolina, Washington, a point back. The Rangers, three back. And Columbus is in fourth, tied with the Penguins now. And in the West, Minnesota leads the Central. St. Louis and Winnipeg are a point back. Nashville is two back in the four spot, then Colorado in the five spot. And then in the Pacific, it's Calgary on top, Edmonton second, a point back. Anaheim and Vegas go 3-4.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So I'm still trying to figure out how the Sixers are losing to the Kings. I mean, there's a lot of players. I like Hield, I like Fox, and I like Barnes, but I mean, let's face facts. The Kings stink. They're 6-11. They just fired Luke Walton, and yet they're winning over the Sixers. I mean, Philly just sucks when Embiid doesn't play. That's just all there is to it. They have no team without Embiid and Harris. They never play. They're always injured. They're down 5 tonight. We already saw Tom Brady go off tonight again for over 300 yards, a couple of TDs, and the Buccaneers blew out the hapless New York Giants. G-men, my ass. They're G-nothing. G-spot. 30-10, they got whacked by Brady and company. At least I don't have to – well, I guess I have to talk about him again tomorrow, don't I, Mafia? I got to talk about Brady again tomorrow no matter what. I thought I'd have a day where I didn't have to talk about Tom Brady in my life, but that's not going to happen. I'm still going to have to talk about him tomorrow. One good thing, we have college football tomorrow. Either way, no matter what, it's not like they're great games or anything. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But I do know that we have games tomorrow night, a couple of them I'm excited about. Buffalo and Ball State, what a thrill that'll be for everybody. Ball State's laying 6.5. And Western Michigan laying 3.5 to Northern Illinois at Northern Illinois. Don't forget, Thursday on Thanksgiving, Fresno and San Jose State, Ole Miss and Mississippi State on top of three NFL games on Sunday or on Thursday. So Thursday you got three NFL, two college. That's going to be great. Friday there's like 50 college football games. So that's going to be awesome. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night.